today on Real Radio.
Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Are you insinuating that if we're not voting for you, we're wicked? That's just what you see on the news, wouldn't you? And yet that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Find a righteous person and put them in power.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called So How's It Going? Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Government God's Way Parts 1 and 2 from Isaiah chapter 2, we learned that when Jesus Christ physically returns in the second coming, he will establish his form of government and his form of justice. We also saw how the Jewish people are the most hated and most persecuted group of people on earth. But God, in all of his compassion towards Israel, will not forget her and has chosen Jerusalem as where he will establish his throne when he returns. And now in Isaiah chapter 3, we'll see how even though the Jewish nation at the time is divided and they're surrounded by their enemies, they go on as business as usual. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that our God is a God of justice and the Lord of heaven's army. And when those in authority disobey God and take advantage of the poor with their policies, God hears the groanings of the poor. And Isaiah tells us of how the Lord rises up to plead his case and stands to judge those who dishonor him. His supernatural law is unbreakable. Only obedience to God brings about blessings. And now continuing his lesson called So How's It Going? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But listen, the Bible says she's the mother of all mankind. It never says Adam is the father of all mankind. Isn't that interesting? And the Bible says that the husband is to so love his wife like Jesus loved the church. So go figure that one out. That's awesome. So when it says here that part of the curse is that women will rule, number one, it means they can't find any men. Number two is that this, as you will see in a moment, this is a brazen, hard group of women in charge. These are not women. These are women weirdos. It's just interesting. We'll see this. It's going to, if I stay true to time, I better now after saying that stay true to time. But he says it's going to, look, verse 11, he says, woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. It's an amazing word. The word ill here means that they are going to, listen to this, they're going to receive inside of themselves illness. It means to have illness, as it were, embedded in them. Whatever their decisions are regarding the wicked, it causes something on the inside. This is not like a cold or the flu. This is an illness that is born out of spiritual error, but listen, the end of it is a physical curse in them. This is serious. And this is almost 3,000-year-old stuff. Why do I bring it up? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This sounds like some programs or movies today, is it not? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That's a serious statement. They exchange, whoever these people are, they exchange the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature or nature or creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up. Isn't that a tragic statement? Can you imagine? Well, so how's it going? Oh, well, the Bible says there will be those that God will give up. This is what the Bible says. To vile passions. Why? It's what they wanted. For even their women exchanged the natural use, that is for man, for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, the female, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving, there it is, in themselves, internally, inside. But we're talking biology here, ladies and gentlemen. Isaiah and Book of Romans, God says there are sins that you can commit, that what happens by the laws of biology and science, which God invented, ladies and gentlemen, there's a result that if you don't repent and have the Lord change your life, you're going to continue on to a point where God, watch, God goes like this. They've crossed the line. They'll never return. God knows our hearts. They won't come to me ever. I give them up. And they receive in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The word due, circle the word due in your Bibles. Go research it yourself. This is your homework tonight. In the Greek language that the Bible was, New Testament was written in, the word means programmed or determined. Isn't that weird? Listen. It's awesome. They received within themselves the penalty of their error, which was programmed in them. What does that mean? That the body, the human body, was built a certain way. And that when you go against the chemicals, when you go against the chemistry of the human body, it causes a physical, biological, chemical issue to start, a chain of actions. And what did we learn through the late 70s and 80s regarding HIV? It's the HIV virus is absolutely stunning in its genius. It is like an alien from another world. It's brilliant. God help me to remember what I used to know very well, where the AIDS virus, when it's inside your system, it can sit dormant 1 hour or 10 years. And what it does, when it, you know how it begins to attack your immune system? That's how you wind up discovering you've got AIDS. You get a cold and you won't be able to shake it. Then you eventually find out you got AIDS. The AIDS virus comes alongside what's called, if I remember right, the T4 helper cell. You need those things to stay alive, your T4 cells. Watch this. It comes alongside and it shadows the T4. It will shape itself and mimic the helper cell. It will move over next to one and then it will cuddle up to it, as it were, in deception, and then it launches a probe inside and it corrupts the T4 cell. And then it parades itself like with this mask to the other T4 cells, and it winds up killing someone. All by deception, smoke screens, and trickery. And it boggled the mind of scientists for a long, long time. It's genius, devilishly genius, as it were. It all happens inside of you. And God says, be careful. Watch out. It's amazing we're reading a book that's that old or this old and with such a truth that silences us, actually. Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. This is a good thing. He's trying to get an intervention. He's trying to wake them up. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes. Why? For you have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor? Do you hear God, everybody? The God of the Bible is the God of justice, and he hates injustice. And he says to the leaders, and he says to those of the nation, what are you doing? You've eaten up the vineyard, meaning you've consumed all the stuff for yourself, and you've plundered the poor. When you got done eating the whole field, then you went over and you robbed from the poor people because they're defenseless. And this word grinding, this word you've grind to grind the people, the word means amazing. You've created their, you've devastated their crops. You created the dust. You've created their dust bowl, as it were. And when you were done with them, you grabbed the poor, and that's what the word grinding means, to rub their face in the dust that you yourself created from robbing their fields. You rub their face in it. Isn't this brutal? Could such a thing happen in our modern time? Wow. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 5 says, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were, an error proceeding from the ruler, from those in charge. Proverbs, you know this verse. Proverbs 29, 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Listen, I'm going to say something right now, and you're not going to know how to answer this because out of political correctness. Are you ready? Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Should you vote for righteous people? How are you going to know? You got to find out, right? You got to find out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if, let's say Billy here, Billy is a righteous guy, loves the Lord, he's going to run for office, and that's his campaign banner. Music's playing, we're all out there supporting, he's making his tour up and down the state of California, running for governor, and his thing is, when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. You would say, right on. Do you know people would probably have him arrested and locked up for making other people feel bad? That's what would happen. Are you insinuating that if we're not voting for you, we're wicked? That's just what you see on the news, wouldn't you? And yet that's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Find a righteous person and put them in power. Benjamin Franklin had no problem with that. John Adams didn't. Did you know that? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that awesome? Sam Adams said, you better find these guys and put them into office. The men who created this nation wouldn't even recognize this nation that they created. It's not the same place. The fun thing about what I'm saying is none of this is political. So you can't write me a letter about this. It's all biblical. It's all Bible. It's all Bible. And he says that he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of heaven's army. That's awesome. And Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask, Father, that, wow, that first of all, we would just receive, Lord, right now from your word, the faith-building vitamins, as it were. Because how can we look at a 3,000-year-old passage of Scripture and not see your eternalness, not see your sovereignty? How is it tonight that we could escape, if someone is escaping tonight, the recognition of you, that you wrote to Israel, and yet everything that's here is eternal truth, and it applies to the United States of America tonight, or any nation? That is a tremendous testimony that you are the God who rules and reigns from heaven above. And it's also a testimony that human nature cannot change without your intervention. And that's why Jesus came to the cross. That's why he came to die on the cross for my sins, to pay a prison sentence, as it were, a death sentence that I could never pay, even if I were to go to jail or be killed for my sins. My sins were greater than the sacrifice of my life for them. I was truly bankrupt. I was truly in debt. beyond repair. But Jesus came and paid a debt I could never pay so that I could have riches of eternal life that I could never earn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you, my friend, would believe in him, that you would not perish but have everlasting life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, I'm going to ask you this evening, maybe God has been working on your heart for, I don't know, for this last hour or this last year, but you have been awakened to a sense of urgency. And you know tonight you need the Lord. You need God. And you don't need some God. You need the God, the Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, the God of the Bible. You need the Lord Jesus Christ because you've sinned and you know it. And the only thing different between you and I is that Jesus has saved me because I've asked him to save me because I've owned up to my sin. I'm a sinner just like you. But you're not saved. And now's the time for you to be rescued. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe tonight you've had enough of this world. And you've had enough of you. And you're saying tonight, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave. If that's you tonight, as I look across the sanctuary and you're making that decision, will you raise your hand high? And I will see your hand and I'll just acknowledge your hand. God bless you. Anyone else in the back? God bless you. Anyone else up front here, sir, to my left? You right there. Anyone else? In the very back, I see your hand. Also, two hands back there. Right here, three of you together right there. That's precious. Anyone else? You sense in your heart, in the back, God bless you. You sense in your heart and your gut, you know you should be doing this. There's a battle within you. I want you to know that all of us sitting here who know the Lord, we know that battle. We went through it once. You don't have to go through it once, by the way. I was going to say a moment ago, it's maybe from my perspective, it's like something inside of you has got to come out and it's some form of a birth. And I guess Jesus said it, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. Are you born again tonight? You were born once through your mother, but have you been born now a second time by the Lord? Are you sure tonight that he's yours and you are his? You can be sure tonight. If you have not yet raised your hand and you sense inside a little bit of a tornado going on and there's a funny battle with yourself, you're saying, I need to do this. And yet another voice is saying, don't do it. And you're saying, I need to do it now. And another voice within you saying, wait till later. Isn't that amazing? If that's you tonight, we all understand that. I'm going to ask you to surrender to one of those voices. If that's you tonight and you're saying yes to Jesus and you did not yet raise your hand and now's your time, put your hand up. Yeah, God bless you and you and you and you and you. Isn't that something? All of us right now, let's stand as we pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's all stand. I don't know why, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. It doesn't do anything special. It just looks awesome. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for those who have said yes to you. It's so excellent, God, that we don't have to put them on parade or put lights around them or paint them fluorescent green or something so that you would know who they were. We don't have to strap some strobe light onto them or some life raft. You are God and you see them. You are God, and you've touched them tonight. And so, Father, we pray as a church now for them as they pray this prayer. we rejoice as the angels rejoice in heaven for what's about to happen to them. So my friends, those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, will you pray this? Dear Lord, I come to you now asking for your forgiveness. I own my sin tonight, Jesus, but I'm giving it to you. And I am receiving your salvation that you gave me at the cross. And by faith tonight, I agree with you, God. Write my name in your book of life. Make me your child this night. And seal me, mark me, stamp me with your identification, oh God. Put your tag, as it were, on me by your Holy Spirit. I am now your child, and I surrender to you. If you've prayed that prayer tonight, at the end of this song, pastors and prayer elders are going to bring Bibles up front. I'm going to ask you to come and grab these Bibles, if you would, and take them with you. We'd love to know who you are. There's a little card in there, then you can let us know. We promise not to bother you, but we will pray for you. But we want to welcome you to the family of God. And Father, I pray for those, and I pray for these who are your people. I pray, Lord, for this Wednesday night group, the Wednesday nighters. Lord, that you would do things with us that we could have never imagined. Father God, that you would find us usable. And Lord, that we would not fail as a people, as a church, as a nation, Lord, may we not fail you. But when our time comes and we have finished our course and we come near to slip into eternity, Lord, may we be able to say, Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit, for you are faithful. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, let us praise you now with this song of worship. Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, So How's It Going? Part 1. Thanks for listening. Proverbs 23 tells us that riches will fly off to the sky like an eagle, while Isaiah urges us to seek the Lord while he may be found. So How's It Going? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you really don't know just what happened or where to go from here, we'd like to help you along in your journey. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that's labeled Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. There's a video there about knowing God that you can watch, along with a brief explanation of the salvation message. Once you truly understand the love God has for you and the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for you, it's going to change your life, literally, forever. That Know God tab also gives you some basic steps that'll help you grow closer to Christ and help you share His love with others. And please let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by giving us your email address. We're here to help you understand that love that Jesus is offering to you for free, no matter who you are or where you are. Again, our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.